Today's lesson, I want to go back to look at the Sermon on the Mount, kind of preaching through that and occasionally as we go through. And as we look at this lesson from Matthew chapter 6, I broke it actually at verse 24. And we'll take a look at those lessons. If you didn't get the lesson sheet, the slides are printed out on the back, and you're welcome to have those. Some great lessons for us, some important lessons, and if anything, these lessons speak to us today, as all Scripture does. And I, as I've studied this particular lesson for today, it just reinforces, man, this is our life here. It's our life, and it's about a spiritual focus and vision. And what do we see in this world, and what do we experience in this world? What do we focus our life on, and through what lens do we look at life here? Because Jesus has called us to look at life differently than what the world does. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. For the Jew, you need to look at religion and this life under the sun differently than what you've been taught and what you've experienced and what you see. Thus, in Matthew 5, verse 20, your religion must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. In Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And so this lesson, I think, as they all do, speaks to us, and I want to take a moment this morning to look at this. So as we look at Matthew 6:19-21 first, the idea is, where is our focus? Is it a spiritual focus? Or is it a spirit or a worldly focus, a carnal focus? And so think about that as we read Matthew 6:19-21. Do not store up or do not amass. I like one of the versions or commentators that gave a commentary on this word. The idea is amassing. Let's pile up our riches. Do not pile up our riches. Don't amass for ourselves treasures on earth where moss and rust corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. But store up or amass for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupts and where thieves will not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where is our focus? Where is our treasure? Because our treasure is where our focus is, right? It's what we look at, what we value, what we live for. You know, I want the things that are valuable to me, I want those, whether it be comfort. Now, so much of our wealth today we use for comfort. We use it for security. We use it to live. It takes this wealth. It takes our income and our possessions to live. It always has. But what is our focus? It's not the problem that we have these things. What is our focus? And he teaches us in considering this amassing material wealth. What's the problem with it? It's going to rot. The moths are going to eat it up. You know, these scribes and Pharisees, they boast of how rich they are, but look, it's all material. Their clothes wear out. You know, it rots, it rusts. A sword or a plow or any kind of metal instrument or wooden instrument. It'll decay, it'll break down, no matter how good it is. Or it can be stolen. You know, you put so much value in these material things, you Jewish nation, and you show it as a sign of being blessed by God. That's how you perceive this. But all that stuff be taken away. And so don't amass these things. Realize if you are to Solomon's word on this, if you amass these things, no, it's vanity. And it is. Okay, that makes us comfortable for a while. It gives us benefit. We can eat, we can live, we can stay warm, you know, but it's temporary. But we want to amass spiritual wealth. That's what he calls us to do. Don't amass wealth for yourselves on earth, but amass for yourself treasures in heaven, your wealth in heaven. You want your vision, your focus here to be in heaven. What do you desire most? Desire the eternal things. Think differently. Don't look at this. Your culture teaches you to amass all this physical stuff, to be rich and to be wealthy and to be comfortable. But Jesus says, have a different mindset about that, right? Have a different focus. Choose wisely. Because where your heart is where your treasure, or where your treasure is where your heart is. If we truly value the things of this earth, then we're going to continue to amass those things. We're going to continue to pile it up. And we're going to gain more and put all our efforts into those things without any concept for the spiritual wealth that we need to be amassing. And this spiritual wealth is eternal and not temporary like things of this earth, right? So it's a focus. What is our focus? Is it material focus or the spiritual focus? And then the next part is, and these are two words that has to do with our vision, our perception of things. The next verse is talking about our vision. What is our vision? Verse 22 and 23 of Matthew 6. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, and the light that is in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? What is your vision? How good is your vision? Well, know that our vision is if we are blind, in other words, if we are material, if your eyes are good, you can see. Now, see, I've got glasses on because I can't see. My vision is not good, right? My vision is distorted. And that's what material things do for us. You know, if you're focused on the earthly material vision, You're focused on the wrong things. You're not going to see right. You're not going to see things correctly. It'll be skewed. It'll be distorted. And it's not going to be clear. And if that's the case, be warned that you're blinded. That your vision is skewed. And this idea of darkness and light is this, in my mind, the way I just try to explain this for our sermon is, you know, if your vision is light, then it's good, you can see correctly, but if it's dark, it's a blindness, it's a material blindness. Like we talked about in our Bible class this morning, we talked about the Pharisees, how they were blinded. They literally could see, but they were blinded to Jesus. They were blinded to righteousness. They were blinded to good. And there was all kinds of things behind that. And it can be that way for us. We can be blinded by so many things, but Jesus is warning them, you want to have good sight. You don't want to have bad sight. And the reality is, what we value determines the lens we look through. If I have a material focus in life, my vision is going to be skewed. If I have a spiritual focus, it's going to be directed towards God. It'll become clearer as we grow and develop. As we mature, our vision will become clearer. And we won't be blinded as we grow. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So what lens do we see life through? Do we see life through the material? What we can amass, what makes us comfortable, what makes life easy, what makes us look prominent or preeminent in that day, certainly with the scribes and Pharisees, the desire for prominence. What vision do we see the world through? If we're looking through that lens, we're not going to see life correctly. We're not going to value the spiritual. We're going to look at the spiritual and say, yeah, I don't really want that. I want the material over here. But Jesus just said the material is going to decay. It's going to go away. It's going to be, someone can steal it. But the spiritual is forever. It's eternal. And this is where the true value is. And so over here is light. And over here is darkness. And so we want to be concerned about that. And so the lesson is that he teaches, choose your master. And choose it wisely. Are you going to, right? Choose your master. No one can serve two masters. You got to pick one. You got to pick one. You're going to hate one. And so Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will devote it to one and despise the other. You cannot, cannot serve God and wealth, or God and mammon, as the good old King James says. You cannot serve God and wealth. You got to pick one. Because we tend to, if you've ever worked for more than one boss, we've all got more than one customers in life, right? You got more than one person who is seeking to receive something from you, whether it's the bill collectors at work at a task, And, you know, one boss will come up and say, I need you to do this. Another boss comes up and says, you need to do that. Well, in the physical world, we realize it's hard to balance those things. But in the end, we have to focus. We have to choose. I'm either going to serve God or I'm going to serve the material. I'm just going to live for this world. You can't keep both of them. You got to pick one. You know what that means? The other one's going to be neglected. It's not the other one doesn't exist, because we're still in this world. We're still going to need to eat today. We're still going to need to sleep tonight. We're still going to need the physical here. But we want to be able to put God as our master. We want to choose Him. These others are going to fall behind, and we may not gain great riches. But I tell you, if you wanted to, you could choose riches. And I love this, because the good old King James used that word mammon. It just means riches. In Spanish, it translates it to riches. There is no such word in that's the old King James English. There's no such Spanish word for mammon. It's the same word in Spanish. Riqueza, maybe. Something like that. Close? Maria's being nice. She's shaking her head good. So, we got to pick one. And it will be our master. And it's for obvious, I say obvious reasons. I'm uncomfortable. I want heat. You know what I want to do this morning? I want my heater to work. I want to focus on that. Last Saturday, our heater began to go out, and it went out last Sunday. So one of the things, we didn't meet last Sunday. One of the things I did Sunday was fixed our heater so it would work. It never got below 60 in the house, which was good. But you know, for a moment there, I was focused on getting that heater fixed. It was kind of important. I don't know if you remember last Saturday, it wasn't below zero. It was negative double digits below zero, actually. So for a moment, and so in our lives for a moment, we may have this focus, but even if I'm focused on this, I'm still portraying God, I'm still portraying Jesus in this act. But my whole life is not centered around making that heater work, right? I'm not, but it can be that we allow things to consume us because we're uncomfortable. Did that consume me last Sunday? Absolutely right. Does it consume me today? No, it worked good. So I've left that behind. But in our lives, do we focus on acquiring and amassing wealth? Amassing possessions, amassing the good. You know, how big is the bank account? Do I have enough? That's always our question. Do I have enough money? Can I make ends meet? Those are questions of this life, because we live here. Who is our master? Who do we put first? Who do we make sure is taken care of on a day in, day out basis? And even when we're distracted by things of this world, when the heater fails, or when we have to figure out how to make the ends meet, God's still in that. We don't set Him aside. He walks with us in that part of our life. He exists within us. He is a part of our being. And it will work out if we choose to go that path. So in reality, we're talking about our spiritual vision and spiritual choice, or which is our vision, which is our focus. Are we choosing the spiritual, or are we choosing the carnal, material, right? The material versus spiritual, destructive, things that are destroyed versus the eternal, things that they're seeing and there's blindness, they're serving God and they're material. We have those choices to make. We want to make the choice for God because it's the eternal part. Yeah, for the moment, there may be some physical that we seek to fulfill ourselves in the day, but all in all, our focus is towards God. Right, we amassing material is not our goal. We may have things. We will have things. We may have more. We may have less. But we're not distressed. We're still thinking eternally. So that's a choice. Where is our focus and where is our vision? This ties very very much into the parable of the covetous rich man. If you want to look at Luke 12. In 15, we remember this parable well. Luke 12 and 15. This is the guy who had a very good year in raising crops. And if you have a good year in raising crops and you run out of room for your crops, you want to build more barns to put your crops in, don't you? So Luke 12 and verse 15, let's consider this. If you want to turn there, I will read part of this. But Luke 12 verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed or covetousness. For not even when one is in abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. He began to reason with himself, saying, what shall I do since I do not have a place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there will I store my grain and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? Is this, well, let me go to verse 21. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This man did what we would do today. I mean, I don't know about you, but even in retirement, I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to set this aside because I need it in the future. And that's so we should be cautioned with this. That we don't just sit back and put our faith and trust in our riches. This rich man did. He was called covetous. And in the end, his soul was required of him that night. We don't know when we're going to die. We're going to lay up all these things. I'm so worried about retirement. And I guess in our society, and myself included, we had friends in Arkansas. Both of his brothers died in their 60s. One of them before he retired, and one of them, if I remember correctly, just right after, like a year or two. I don't know about you, but I think retirement years would be good years. I get to kind of do what I want to do and take care of things that maybe I put off because I had responsibilities I felt like at work. Both his brothers died in their 60s. That's not so old anymore, guys. I used to think that was. It's not so old anymore. They didn't really retire. And even our friend, he passed away in his 70s. We don't know. And if that's all our life is, we have nothing. It's like trying to hold sand in our hand. It just falls out, doesn't it? We have nothing. So amass not. Don't be stressed over it and trying to build up the material. There's no security in it. You know, it could be one fire can wipe it all out. You know, I know we have insurance today, but that just leads us more into temptation to put our trust in it. God wants us to trust in Him, not in our riches, not in our possessions. He wants us to trust in Him, and we do have necessities. We have to eat, we have to drink, we have to do certain things, we have to sleep. We have necessities, and we have comforts. I'm going to take away comforts. I got my heater's working again. I made sure of that, but they're temporary. I can't put my focus on them. I can't just be tunnel vision on them and only worry about those things and live my whole life to build those up. There's a false security there. That's a false security. And it's not easy to see that because they are comforting. They are helpful. They're, you know, one morning you wake up and they're gone. That's the way it is. But we do want to match the spiritual with just a very quick just breakdown of some things. We talked about living for eternity in the last sermon, which was 2 weeks ago now. The idea of this Bible knowledge, this is something that can't be taken away. This is a spiritual aspect of this. This is not a carnal material. To having knowledge of God's Word, His expectations of us. Putting on the Christian virtues. Having the attitudes of Jesus. Having the character of Jesus. Having the heart of Jesus. Doing the things that Jesus would do the way Jesus would do it, with the right attitude. Right? The virtues. Those are spiritual. Those are eternal. Those are eternal in nature. Religion itself, our practices together here, our worship together, the edification, encouragement we give to one another, those are really critical. They're important. We can't live without them. And we want to amass these things. You know, how many vehicles I have, and the house I live in, the bank account, all those things are not going to matter in the end, right? They're not going to matter in the end. So we want to amass the spiritual things. And then the material things we do have, use it for the glory of God. Use it for God's purpose to help others. Our design here is not to just amass these things, but what we do have to share with others. Ephesians 4, Paul even says, work so you can help others, so you can give to others. In other words, your purpose is to help others, not just to amass it yourself, but so you can help others, right? Having that spiritual focus and vision, not right. The carnal is in that category of being blinded, a distorted view, whether you're nearsighted, farsighted, we, you know, as we start getting glasses where we can't see good, We need the right kind of vision, and that comes through the spiritual side. And if we have if we are living in the carnal side, have the carnal mind, then our vision will be distorted, and we need to be worried about that. I think that's the where I want to go with that. But the spiritual, as we mature and as we grow and as we walk on this path with a spiritual mindset, with a spiritual goal, spiritual desires, the terminology is a clear vision, a good vision, a vision that sees, it's one who understands, who can discern correctly. Because the reality is, if we have a carnal mind, we do not see correctly. In 1 Corinthians, we've studied on Wednesday nights, brings this out. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4 deals with some of the Corinthian brethren who were putting people above other ones, and thinking highly of one person over another person and using it as a mind of superiority. And Paul's point is, look, you are carnal, and I have to speak to you as carnal. And so this carnal mindset is a blinded mindset. It's those people. When we're in that condition, we are blind. But to put on these spiritual virtues gives us a clear-sightedness, and that's the result of that. We are able to see. And that's tied into our lesson, because Jesus uses that here as he taught in Matthew 6, talking about our vision. And so the spiritual versus carnal. We want to be spiritual. And we want to have a spiritual goals, and not just carnal goals. Amass spiritual blessings, amass spiritual things. Don't be focused on amassing the physical and material, because it's temporary. And then the idea of balanced living. You know, in the end, we do have to live. For a moment, we will take time to take care of ourselves and our needs, because they need to be taken care of. And the whole idea is a godly focus. It's not that we don't do things. It's not that we don't have a bank account, that we don't have a car, that we don't have a nice home. How do we use it then? What do we give up to have those things even, right? What do we give up to have these things? And then what do we do with it? Do we use our wealth for good, for helping others? And the lesson today has also brought out the pitfalls. Are you a Christian? We want to offer and always offer an opportunity for you to become a Christian, confess your faith in Jesus and baptizing you, making you a disciple. And we would love you to do that today. If you are a Christian and there's something we could do to help you out, we want to be able to do that as well. We would be glad to know about those things. We always offer you to make let us know about those at the end of our lesson. So as you go through the rest of this week, consider, and the rest of our life, what is our mindset? What is our focus? Let's have a godly one. Let's have a spiritual one. And if you have something we can help you with, we want you to come let us know that as we stand and as we sing our song, Select.